Okay, we are continuing with halachas about tmona, and we might even finish the core halachas about tmona tonight. Mitzvah Hashem, please excuse me. I want to leave a few minutes early, but we've got yesod that we covered yesterday, which is the rule that tmona does not apply when the insulating material, the insulator, is that what it's called? No?
Yeah.
Insulator, yeah, is not wrapped around the pot that tightly, but rather there's an airspace between the insulator and the... Does it make sense?
Between the insulator and the insulated stuff.
Very good. Thank you very much. Good. So in other words, if there is distance, there's airspace between the insulating material and the fruit or the pot, then airspace makes it mutter. Okay, that's the rule we discussed yesterday. Yeah?
Does that mean on top and sides? Because generally, you say you put a towel.
Good question.
But the sides are always because you've got the...
Good question. So, so the answer is yes, if you've got any side substantially... substantial, not just like a tiny bit.
So
if you've got that and the rest of the pot then is distance, then it will be fine. Yes. Okay, we're continuing based on that. You saw it. An interesting extension from this halacha. Which is the following on two lines from the bottom of page Chav Tes, which is middle of Sif Ches in Sim Rishon on Zayin. So where the Mishnah says, Sif Kot Mem Dalet in that word, Shulchan Aruch. V'chein. And similarly, Mutter laniach hakedera betanurim shelonu. We have mutter, it is permitted, laniach hakedera betanurim shelonu. Okay, let's go slow. You've got a pot, which has this nice chonon inside it, and you're putting it now, you're taking this pot, betanurim shelonu, into an oven. Now, when we're talking about a slightly different type of insulation of atmona, because you're not wrapping it, you're not wrapping something around, but what you're doing actually is you're putting it in the oven. You're taking the pot and you're putting it in the oven. Now, the oven has a few parts to it. First of all, there's the coals underneath, and there's the hot stone walls around it. Have you got a problem with atmona here or not? You're insulating it. He may not have cooked there. He didn't cook there. He cooked elsewhere. But now, you want to keep its heat. You want to retain its heat. Chaim, is that a good idea? You keep it in the oven? It's a pretty good idea, I think. Imagine if the oven is hot, that is. It was used yesterday in the baker's oven, piping hot, fiery stones. Yeah, I think it's a good place to keep it. No, I think it's a pretty good. So have you got a problem about tomorrow? Yes or no, by keeping it in the oven?
It's a little gap.
Very good, absolutely. Says Gabi in the Shulchan Aruch that it's going to be mutter. And the reason why it's mutter is that you would have thought, if not for the yisoid that we said yesterday, Moshe Lalocha is that it would have been? That's right. But yesterday we learned that once there is
A
space is mutter. So therefore, you've got the pot, you're putting in the oven, it could be a fiery, burny, smoky oven, but it's fine. You can keep it there, says Shulchan Aruch now. Because you've got air space between the walls of the pot. And that's what Shulchan Aruch is saying now. V'chein, similarly, mutter laniach keder betanurim shelonu. Because if on Shabbos you want to put it in the oven, in shanurim shelonu, our types of ovens, aleidei sheet and besoy chaticho chayo. So now he's speaking about putting a chaticho chayo in there. Why do you think he's talking about a chaticho chayo in there? You put a raw meat in there. Why do you think he's saying that? It's obviously not for hatzmona purpose. Hatzmona doesn't make... No, it's not talking for practice for that. It's looking for, no, pardon? Oh, yeah, so he says, so the truth is that if you had a chatir chayo in there, there would be no problem of shahir. And now he takes really what's relevant to us, really, is the following words. And that is, shaloi te'a kedero, the pot should not, negas, touch begecholim the coals. Because what it could be, imagine if you're sinking it into the coals. You've got burning coals, and there's loads of them around in that oven. And you're now taking the pot, and you're like putting it in a way that you're not making havara or kibui. Whatever it is, like a hole. Imagine it's like a hole in like a deep depth. You can put the pot in there, just like, and it's surrounded by coals. So that would then be a problem, because you're literally putting it and it's surrounded by the coals. That would indeed be a problem of atmana. But that's what he says, that if you're just putting it randomly on top and it's not surrounded by coals, and so it's going to be, what's going to be? It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Oh, so you're referring to Bishul Bechamo, Betoldas Chamo. So that is something which we'll be discussing in Shinut Ches. Here, when I'm referring to the fact, to assuming that there's no problem of Bishul. So even if it's not Toldas Chamo or Chamo Bishul, if it's Eish Mamash. V'ushal atei kadeir negas b'kholim, v'af al pi, and although, shemechase piatano bevgodim, although the oven itself, even if more so, if the oven itself is completely wrapped and insulated, which we're going to see soon, that was very commonly done, to actually insulate the oven, to make it even more retaining its heat, even then, it's going to be mutar. Because the insulating clothing and materials and shmatas that you're insulating to around the oven, that they are not touching the pot. And therefore, it's mutter. Very good. It's not considered atmona. V'shorin, it's mutter. V'atmona, says Ramona, continued on this concept. The atmona that is commonly done in our countries. Shmatminim batanu. So they used to have ovens, baker's oven. And they used to, you've got the baker's oven that was used for the entire town. Now that was apparently done until fairly recently, so I hear, that used to have the piping hot, fiery oven that was in the center of the village, and people used to make their cholent there, and they always used to have their own pots, and with a cholent, they would take that from, carry those into the house on Shabbos. So they would be made on Erev Shabbos, put on into that oven on Erev Shabbos, but the fire would certainly at one point the fire would go off on Friday sometime, so one point on one during Shabbos the fire would, and in order to retain the heat, so you've got an oven, large oven that the whole city basically all the heathen would put their pots in there, but you want to keep the heat now because it's the fire's going off. So what they did is you'd be tachin betit, they would actually they would cover it with some sort of, not cement, but a kind of, he calls it tachin piatano betit. Well, it is cement, literally translates as cement. It's kind of, what's it called? Mortar? Is that what it's called? Mortar? Yeah, is that what it is? To cover it up, smear all over, and that this would literally retain the heat of it. Would that substance make sense? Yeah? How would it best described?
Insulating coat,
right. And that will be done. We'll see soon. The Shulchan Aruch is going to be discussing as to whether you can, how can you break open out on Shabbos, etc. That's going to be a simon rishon test. But the concept of actually just covering it all up. And now the question is, what are you actually insulating with that? What are you actually insulating? You could also use shmatas, but the point is you're insulating the oven. And the pot is going to be taken out on Shabbos by breaking through it or whatever it is. But you're going to take the pot out on Shabbos morning, you're going to take it out. And the rest of the village people as well, all the Eden are going to... So why are you actually insulating? The oven. And that's why it's mutter, because you're insulating the oven and you're insulating the pot. And that's what the Gemara says, the minhag in Klal Yisrael is to be matir and to allow it without any further thought. That's perfectly okay. It says, Shori lekule alma. I'm reading the words of the Rama again. V'atmona sho'isim v'medinos elu. And the atmona that is done in our country is shimatmini betanu, that we are insulating the oven with tochin, and we shmir piatanu, the opening of the oven, betit, with mortar. Shori, he is permitted lekul alme, according to all opinions. As long as provided the Bialocha points out, provided that the pot mustn't be touching the. Yes, true, and what else as well? If you look at the sides, the oven. Who said the oven? Yeah, the oven. You have to be careful. Now, if you've got, very good, if you've got like, it's quite a small oven, or you've got a few pots, what you have to keep in mind is that if you've got the oven literally going to the walls of the oven, then again you've got a problem. Why is it a problem? Because what?
No
airspace again. Yeah, absolutely. So you've got a problem now. That you actually, if you're pushing the oven, if you're pushing the pot right to the oven, then you actually are doing atmana. Very good. Yeah. So that would be a good question. How much of that will have to be actually, you have to know how much of that will be, when is it actually going to be a problem? Good question. We have no definition for that. So you're right, if it's just a slight, a very, very small, absolutely, then it would definitely be mutter. Yeah. Right. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, we're continuing with a very popular halacha, which is very frequently misquoted. And that's the halacha of the cholent. Rabbi Yisrael, how are you with cholent on Shabbos? Cholent? Cholent of Shabbos? Okay, this is frequently misquoted. I believe it's misquoted. Let's see if it's misquoted or not. Now, mitzvah lehatmin leShabbos. It is a mitzvah to do atmana on Shabbos. Why? Kedei sheyochal chamen, in order that he should eat chamen, how would you translate chamen?
Something hot. Something
hot. Oh, very good. Very, very good. Very, very good. Now, chamen has two meanings. Chamen can, literally, the very literal translation is chamen is that it's something hot. Cham. Something hot. But chamen is also translated cholent. And that's what it says. We should eat hot or hot cholent. But Shabbos on Shabbos. Kizeh mikvoit onik Shabbos. And this is the honor and the respect for Shabbos. To eat something hot on Shabbos. V'kol mi she'enei b'mamin b'divrei chachamim. Whoever does not believe in the words of the sages. V'oisa. And he forbids achilas chamen b'Shabbos. And he forbids eating chamen on Shabbos. Chayshinon shema apikorusu. We suspect that it is an apikorus. There's a saying on people that you're not eating cholent. But the chassidim say you're not eating cholent. Ah, it must be an apikorus. You're not eating cholent on Shabbos. How? You're not eating cholent. What? You just so if somebody says that, he is probably attempting to quote this Ramah, but rather than quoting it, he's actually misquoting it, because it's not really what the Ramah means. What does the Ramah mean? It doesn't mean that somebody doesn't eat cholent is. If somebody doesn't eat cholent, it's not pekoros. It's not, that's all it means. What does it mean? Something hot. Something hot. Something hot, that's right. So it's frequently misquoted, but something hot must be consumed on Shabbos. This is correct. Something hot must be pardoned. Very good question. So the poskim ask. Are you fulfilling the mitzvah of achilas chamin b'Shabbos by drinking hot coffee? No, what do you tell her?
No.
She said it's not an Oynik Shabbos. A very good point. I'll tell you the poskim amadaik, without going into the lomdas, the amadaik, the losh nachila chamin b'Shabbos. Achila. Achila means eating. So this is actually the remissing kelly that Mamash brings Israel. It must be that it's not good enough to drink something hot because it says achila chamin b'Shabbos. So it must be consuming by eating.
Friday night.
Good.
You don't have it.
Very good. It's interesting. The police came also busy with that, Shaila. What happens if you eat something hot on Friday night, but on Shabbos morning you're having something cold? It means, yeah. So the police came say that since the main meal really is the Shabbos day meal, one can only fulfill this achilas chamin by a day meal rather than by the Friday night meal. One should definitely have something hot by the day meal as well. One should have something hot. Rabbi said, why is he considered an apikoros if he doesn't eat something hot? Why is he considered an apikoros? Why? Very good! Because the karoim, to were people, the karaites, is that what they were called? Yeah? The karoim, they were misinterpreting the Torah. They only believed the Torah should be ksav, without believing in Torah shebal peh. And it says in the pasuk, lesivaru eish. Lesivaru eish. You should not create the heat. Pimushvasechim in your dwellings. And they said, well, if that's the case, you mustn't have anything hot on Shabbos. And that's how they learned. And they're obviously wrong, that's not its meaning. He's talking about creating the what does he mean? He's not talking about a melacha. You're not allowed to make a fire on Shabbos. It doesn't mean you're allowed to have anything hot on Shabbos. He means you mustn't make a melacha of creating fire on Shabbos. And in order to uproot them, so they were only makbet to koyim because they don't live in Torah Shabbat Peh, to look at the pasuk very literally, and therefore they're ensured to only have cold food on Shabbos. Imagine that. I think we're better off, huh? We're better off. Yes. Apparently they're awesome, yeah. Yeah. So in order to outdo them and to publicize that Lo Tzivahu Eish does not mean that. It doesn't mean that. So we're ensuring to have something hot on Shabbos. Baruch Hashem for that. So we can all enjoy our cholent and be aware of its important ruchnistic content of it. So and therefore but if somebody who dafke only make sure to only have cold food on Shabbos, where chosh is, oh, one second over here, these are funny people over here, they only have cold food on Shabbos, they shema chashin on shema pekeresu, and that means it very literally. Hapekeres means that he's maybe somebody who doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. He may be somebody that doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, and therefore we suspect that maybe he's a me'akaroim, and not from Inzere. And therefore we keep away from them. So before you have a mishalach with somebody, make sure if they have chonot on Shabbos, yeah? Right. Now, I do want to mention briefly the Mishnah Berurah over here, in Tzivkot Mem Ches, that asks the question, what happens if somebody, he can't eat hot food because of health reasons? Does he need to force himself?
He doesn't need to.
So Mishnah Berurah indeed, Gabi's right. If called Mem Ches, Mishnah Berurah says, "Mitzvah latmen b'Shabbos, avu mishem mazik lo'achamin." If it's damaging your health by having something hot, mutar le'achol tzoyin, you're allowed to eat something cold. So listen to an interesting shaila. What happens if somebody, it's not mazik him, but you know what? It's boiling hot in Bnei Brak summer. Yeah, Bnei Brak in the summer. I wouldn't the Mesiros Nefesh to be the summer months in Bnei Brak, and that's in the pre-air conditioning days in particular, needs no explanation. So imagine if someone just doesn't really fancy a hot cholent. He's looking forward to his ice cream, and he's quite happy to have cold, refreshing, but he just can't be bothered having a cholent. He just can't. It's not that it's mazik him. It's not hurting him, and it's not causing pain and anguish. But he just doesn't really fancy his cholent. Does he need to have a cholent? Yes or no? I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure you're right. Yeah. Yeah. I think you'd have to eat it. Okay. So, it will be just as fine. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. So, Rabbi Yisai, the Mishnah. If? Yeah, but the challenge is, does the whole Nebak need to have chonot or not?
Same as?
Oh, you're saying it's the same in damage. No difference between somebody mamash getting in pain and somebody just mamash can't. If you can't be bothered, if you don't fancy and it's mazik, it's the same halacha. So there's a diuk in the Mishnah Berurah, Rabbi Yisai. There's a diuk in the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, how are you medayek in the Mishnah Berurah? This Mishnah Berurah we just saw now, Sifkot Memches.
It's only
mazik. Yeah, exactly.
If it's a lesser thing than mazik, maybe you have to.
Yeah.
Eat the hot food.
Yeah, that's what I
enjoy it.
And enjoy. I don't know if you have to. Yeah. So the duke is that in Kerelet is quoted in making that duke. If it's hurting and damaging you and it's causing you a lot of pain, then mutar le'achol tzoyin, then you're allowed to have cold foods. But on a level less than that, if you just really don't fancy, it seems like you're obligated and you have to have it. That's what you mask him to the duke? You mask him? No, you mask him? It's very nice point. Very, very, choshva point what you're saying. Choshva, you're saying that from the Ramah, it seems to all Scheurish of the mitzvah is because it's not Oynik Shabbos. And if you don't have an Oynik Shabbos, then what's the point of forcing yourself?
Is Oynik Shabbos subjective or objective?
Good question. We'll speak about that. There's definitely both of it. But you know what? I think that Lechoyra, what you're saying is not completely true, because it says, mitzvah la'atman in the Shabbos k'deshi yuchol chamim b'shabbos, k'zim mekvod v'oynik Shabbos. Full stop. But then it says, it seems to be an additional halacha as well. So it is not, you should have cholent because it's Oynik Shabbos. And besides that also, if you, you know, but I'm not sure. I think you're right. You've got a very choshva point. You've got a very, very choshva point. There's a whole root of the nekudas als Oynik Shabbos. And if it's not Oynik Shabbos, choshva nekuda. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah does say that one should not change from the minhag Yisrael. That's the Mishnah Berurah Sifkaton Mem Tes. At the end, he says, "Lebal nefesh lo yosem minhag Yisrael." A person should not move away from the minhag, from the custom in Klal Yisrael to be matmin chamim b'Shabbos. Plekam it is oynik Shabbos kashenuag lo b'sinim ba'olam. It's an ancient minhag to have cholent on Shabbos, and one should try to do it if possible at all. But one should try to not omit it. It's interesting that the Lashon cholent comes really from the early Rishonim, Asur and Rishonim cholent. And I believe that, who knows French over here? French? I think that it comes from the Lashon shor. Shor in French means hot. So I think it comes from Lashon cholent, and you could see that the way they spelt it was without the tes. It was cholent, shin aleph. It was spelled shin aleph lamed. And this is show. Lashon show means hot. And I believe that chamin, sholent, hot. It all comes from the same. Achilas chamin b'shabbos, and they say sholent. It comes from the fact that it was a hot food. It was hot, the way they had hot foods in previous generations. Okay, Rabbi said, what we covered tonight, we spoke about the halacha that to put in the oven, to put a pot in the oven, and consequently, there's no problem of atzmon. If you're wrapping around it, the oven. Then we learned that it's not a problem because you're doing atzmon around the oven and not around the pot, and therefore it's mitzvah. So again, concept being airspace allows hatmona. We learned that you've got to make sure though that the pots don't touch the walls of the oven, because then it would be hatmona. We learned that the baker's oven in previous generations, why it's okay. And we then spoke about mitzvah hatman that you should do, one should ensure to have hot food on Shabbos. That's covered in Oynik Shabbos. We learned that if somebody doesn't believe in Beshit, it doesn't have hot food on Shabbos, he's a Chashin on Shem Apikoresu. He would be a, because maybe he only believes in Tershah B'Iksav, not Tershah Baal Peh. We learned that it's a minik to have cholent, and we spoke about that if somebody really gets damaged from it and is in pain from it, he doesn't have to have, then it's mutter just to eat tzonen. Good evening, Abbas.